Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Merry Christmas. This is the beginning of our celebration of the Feast of the Nativity of our Lord, that our Lord Jesus Christ has come into our flesh to bear our sin and to be our Savior. A lot of things have happened this year. All you had to do was open a newspaper, and since I know the majority of you don't do that anymore, push a button on your phone, or if your phone is like mine, it now gives me a highlight every morning when I wake up, even if I don't want it. We saw terrible tragedies happen throughout our country. We saw a man murdered for his confession that Jesus Christ is King over all creation. And while many might try to tell you that it was some sort of political stunt only, the reality is the devil hates the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the devil will do anything he can to snuff out that gospel. But the devil cannot snuff out the gospel. The gospel is stronger than he is. Saint Nicholas, stronger than Krampus. The angel Michael, stronger than the devil. And God, far surpassing the devil and his horde. Yes, so many tumultuous things happen around us that sometimes we forget the joy that lives in the heart of the Christian. You see, we're not depressed like the world is. Yes, we have a God-shaped hole, just like everyone has. But thanks be to God for those that the Holy Spirit has worked faith in. That hole is filled with Him. Not the substances, whether prescribed or not. Not the lust, the sensualities, not the cravings of the flesh, but rather filled by the Spirit of our God. Yes, the devil works very hard against the Church of Christ. The devil does not work very hard against the other churches throughout the world. The churches like Islam, Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism, and the like. Those that do not confess that Jesus Christ is Lord does not need to work hard against them because he already has them. But the devil will work hard against the church. He wants you to be depressed. He wants you to feel destroyed. He wants you to be distraught. He wants you on drugs and perversions because he desires you for all of eternity. Our epistle lesson for Christmas Eve ties into this exactly. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. The devil wants you involved in all of those things so that your eyes are not fixed on Jesus. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is our only hope of salvation and only hope through this life. The world wants you to focus on secular things. The world wants you singing only the songs that are completely void of meaning rather than the beautiful hymns that fill our church this evening for the whole season of Christmas and through Epiphany. I would encourage you that once the 26th of December comes, you do not stop listening to Christmas music. But if you've mostly spent your time listening to just White Christmas or Mariah Carey, put her back on ice and listen to the songs of Christ. The songs that point you to the hope that you have. Mariah Carey's song and her singing abilities blow my mind. When she whistle sings, I don't know how she does it. But more importantly, focus on the things that God does that we also don't understand. How God, perfect from eternity, could take on flesh in the womb of a virgin. How God could be born. How God could nurse. How God would have to learn how to walk. Learn the ABCs. Learn the things that he had taught. And that God could somehow take my sins upon himself. And take your sins and the sins of the world. That this God, who was born as a baby in Bethlehem, would grow up into manhood, perfectly fulfilling every law of his Father, and that he would die for us. It does not make sense that this God could take that Passover supper and afterward institute a divine supper, a supper that forgives us our sins, that in this bread and wine, at the words of Jesus, we receive the very body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. None of those things make sense to me, but they are beautiful and they are true. I don't know how many times you heard All I Want for Christmas on the radio this Christmas, actually this Advent season. But maybe we should focus on the fact that I say this thing every single week. That Jesus Christ loves you and he died for you. And that is really the greatest miracle there is. Maybe we lose sight of it because we're so used to this miracle. We think we just wish God would do miracles in our lives today, forgetting that every child conceived and brought into this world is a miracle. Forgetting that your parents, your loved ones, your children and grandchildren gathered here today, the fact that they have faith in Jesus Christ, also a miracle. These are all miraculous things. That our loved ones who have departed this life in the faith, the miracle that on the last day, when Jesus Christ comes for the last time, that those graves cannot contain them. That body and soul, they will spring forth rejoicing with the songs of Jesus Christ, who saved them from their sins. Dear Church of Christ, put away the worldly lusts. Live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. And keep an eye focusing forward, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Anyone that rejects that God is not another path to the same God. Listen instead to the voice of Jesus Christ. Jesus, my God, my Lord, as Thomas cried out in our gospel lesson from this past Sunday. This is our great God. He is our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You, dear Christian, do not do good works in order to save yourselves. The good work is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The good work is that the Holy Spirit has worked faith in your hearts through the Word. That is the good work that brings salvation. But now that you are freed from sin, from death, and from the devil, God has created you. You are his workmanship to bring forth good works. You no longer live your life like the unbelieving world. You live your life for Jesus. This Christmas night and every day moving forward, you pick up your cross and you follow him. And you do it with joy. You do it with hope. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Exhort, rebuke, reproach with the word of God. making sure that you take that plank out of your own eye so that you can better see the speck that is your brother's, that you can point him back to the cross of Jesus. Because that's your only hope. That's my only hope. And it's his only hope for salvation. Let the word of God so wash over you. It's Christmas Eve. You came expecting to hear a message of shepherds, a message of angels, a message of a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Christmas is absolutely that. But it's also a message of why. Why was that baby born? Why was that baby laid in a manger, a feeding trough for animals? Why were the shepherds the one that the angels cried out glory to God in the highest? Why was it shepherds, lowly though they were, that God sent to look upon his son? Mary, the virgin, giving birth. Joseph, guardian of our Lord. Not by blood, but by fostering care. This holy family, this babe, born for you, for me, for Mary, for Joseph, for those shepherds, for the whole world. Why? Because he loves us. The church sings. My heart for very joy must leap. My lips no more can silence keep. I too must sing with joyful tongue that sweetest ancient cradle song. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.